Week we began a message which we're going to conclude this week, and it was a message on being prepared, that we need to be prepared, not prepared for just any old thing, but prepared for the greatest event that is ever going to occur in the history of the world, and it is referred to as the rapture. What is the rapture? The rapture is a time when the trumpet of God would sound, and every Christian, millions of people throughout the earth, will be taken from where they are on earth and to be in glory with Jesus. What an event that is going to be. It is going to affect the world in an absolutely astounding way. The world will never be the same again. Now, when we think about it, we would look at this idea of the rapture, every Christian being taken out of the world. Now, this would be true Christian, not just people who belong to churches in general. Anybody almost can belong to a church and call their gathering a church, but whether or not it lifts up the name of Jesus remains to be seen. That's what the church is all about. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. So every person who has committed their life to Jesus will be taken up at that time in the rapture. It may seem impossible to us. It may even seem preposterous. But when we think about it, nothing is impossible with the Lord. And so that being the case, look forward to that time, and that's what you and I need to be prepared for. But in order for us to get the right perspective, we're going to refer to God's Word as we find in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and it's chapter 4, beginning to read at verse number 13. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1171. There's something to be able to read the Word of God, to see it in print, whether it's on the screen or in the Bible that you hold in your hand. But let's hear the Word of the Lord. Brothers, that means believers. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Now keep in mind, the fall asleep is the New Testament term for believers who have died in the Lord. They've given their life to Jesus, and they have been following him, but they passed away physically, and they have fallen asleep in New Testament terms. It means that they have died. Let me start it again. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, we started this message last week. We're going to conclude it this week, the Lord willing. And the very fact that we are all here this morning points to a very important fact. That is, the rapture hasn't occurred yet. If it had been, we wouldn't be here. But we know that it is coming. And it, as I look at world conditions today, it's not going to be that far away. Oh, I know it may be many years away, but I think the rapture is, we are on the threshold of the rapture occurring at any moment. We look at all the signs that are happening throughout the world today, and we cannot help but be focused on the return of Jesus to take his church to be at home in heaven with him. Just a word of explanation. We notice in the scripture that we read this morning these words, "The dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Now, this is a very profound passage of scripture. Following is an explanation. First of all, we all know that there are believers in this world and there are unbelievers in this world. Believers are those who have accepted God's free gift of salvation. Remember, we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's a free gift when we reach out and accept who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We put all our trust in Jesus. When we do that, who he is and what he's done for us, then we become believers. Unbelievers are those who have rejected God's free gift. And by rejecting Jesus as Lord and Savior, when all is said and done, throughout the world there are only two groups of people. There are believers and there are unbelievers. Those who put their trust in Christ, those who do not. There are many religions in the world. Many people have some sort of a spiritual action in which they are involved. But not all are of God. Only those who put their trust in Jesus. This is what is of God. We are people of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ when we put all of our trust in Him. When a person dies, at that very moment of final breath, whenever that is, there is a separation. What is that separation? The soul, spirit, mind, and personality leave the body, and the body is left behind. The real us, soul, spirit, mind, personality, we head out into heaven. We head out to be with Jesus. That, of course, is for believers. For believers, I've just said this, we head out into eternity with Jesus, but for unbelievers, they also head out into eternity in a place called hell. Now, in either case, believers and unbelievers will be in that location for all eternity. Believers will be with Jesus. Praise be to God. What a glory that's going to be. What a blessing it is for the church, for people who put their trust in Jesus. Now, when believers head out to glory, our bodies are left behind, and we have a spiritual body of some nature. When we are in glory with Jesus, we'll be fully recognized. We will recognize others, and others will recognize us. When the rapture occurs, since the body of believers who have died are still back on earth, when that rapture happens, God has arranged it so that their bodies will be resurrected, come out of the grave or wherever they are, and join their spiritual bodies in glory. And then a nanosecond later, after that happens, then we who are alive, we haven't died yet, we who are alive, we will be taken up and we will be transformed and we will have our new body to last for all eternity. The people who have died, they are in the grave. Their spiritual body is there, but their spiritual body will be reunited with their earthly body into a brand new body made to last for eternity. I can hardly wait when you think about it. No more aches, no more pains, no more heartache, no more headache, none of those, no more backache. None of those things will be happening because we will be with the Lord in a brand new body. Praise be to God. So according to the scripture that we read earlier, the dead, that is, those believers who have already died, will be brought up out of their resting place, and a second after that, we will join them. What a blessing that is. Now, in terms of the rapture, remember what the rapture is. It's the time when the trumpet sounds, the voice of God is heard, Jesus returns, and he comes back to his people on earth, and we are taken up to be with him. And what we learned last week was this. The rapture is a signless event. There are no signs that immediately precede the rapture. God has designed it that way. If we had a sign that this was going to occur and immediately after would be the rapture, then a lot of people would probably come to the Lord at that point because they know the rapture's coming. But God has designed it in this way. It's a signless event so that we will be ready and we will be prepared and we are looking forward to that happen at any time. It could happen before we're finished this morning. It could happen this week or next week. I don't know when it's going to happen. All I know is it's going to happen. It's a signless event. It is also a surprise event. Believe me, believers are looking forward to it. Not so much of a surprise for us. It'll be wonderful. But for the rest of the world, who won't know what happened, it will be a tremendous surprise. It will also be a sudden event. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But there are some other items that we can learn this morning. We learned three last week. We'll learn four this week, the Lord willing. The rapture is a selective event. Now, there are three major passages of Scripture that you might like to refer to. The first one is found in John 14. The second one is found in 1 Corinthians, and the third one in Thessalonians, the passage that we read this morning. But I'd like to draw our attention to what Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 to 6. Jesus is speaking to those who were around him at the time, and he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." You see, the Jewish people, they trusted in God. But now he says, "Trust also in me," in Jesus. "In my Father's house are many rooms." I like the King James Version that says, "There are many mansions." This one says many rooms or many places. "If it were not so," Jesus said, "I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Now hear those words. Jesus said, "I am going there to prepare a place for you." Next slide. "And if I go and prepare a place for you," listen to his promise, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Next verse. "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said, this is why Thomas is often referred to as the doubting Thomas. He had a lot of questions about things that Jesus said. So Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Good question. Next slide. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now look at the last part. "No one comes to the Father except through me." Now that's really important. I have heard this verse quoted many times, just the first part. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And they stop there. That's not the place to stop, because the rest of it says, Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." That means that any religion on earth, regardless of how good it intends to be, any religion on earth, any so-called religious grouping on earth, if they are not coming to Jesus and through Jesus, they're not going to end up in glory on that day of rapture or any other day. It's important that we remember these are the words of Jesus. Now, when you go home, you might want to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter. We're not going to look at it this morning, but you may wish to do that because it gives you a better idea as to what's going on in terms of this being a selective event. We read in 1 Thessalonians about the trumpet sound happening, the dead in Christ rising first, those who are living being transformed and going to be with Jesus. And then Paul says in another spot that believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we are known as the dead in Christ. So the rapture is a selective event. It's selecting only those who place their trust in Jesus. Anyone else is not selected. The rapture is a spectacular event. Now, Jesus is going to come back to pick up his church, to snatch up his church, and take the church to be with him in glory. Jesus is going to come back at the end of a tribulation period and coming back with his church. Now, Nadine, if you'd show that slide just for a moment. I know I've shown this before, but just to give us a verbal picture as to where we are. The slide didn't quite extend quite as far as I would like it, so some of the words aren't as clear as they could be. But nonetheless, you'll notice on the far left, we are in the church age. The church age began at Pentecost and will end at the rapture. That's where we are. There's an arrow that's going up at that point, and that indicates when the rapture comes, every true believer in Jesus will be taken up in the clouds to be with Jesus. Then comes a seven-year tribulation period. There's the lesser tribulation, the mid-tribulation, and the greater tribulation. Those things are going to happen in a period of 7 years. And let me tell you, it's going to be hell on earth. Not the real hell, but hell on earth. And then at the end of that comes the battle of Armageddon, and all the world will be gathered against Israel, against Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to return. You see that arrow that comes down? That arrow indicates at the end of that tribulation period, Jesus is going to come back with all of those who are in heaven with him. We went up with him at the rapture. We are coming back with him and coming back with him. And then for 1,000 years, we will rule with Jesus on this earth. At the end of the 1,000 years, there's a new creation, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. I've heard people say to me over and over again, "I think with all these wars going on, it's the end of the world." No, it is not. I can guarantee by the word of God that the end of the world is at least 1,007 years away. Because, first of all, the rapture comes. Shortly thereafter is the seven-year tribulation period. That's spelled out in Scripture. And then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then at the end of that, there's a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. That's when that will occur. The end of the earth, the end of the world, is not here yet. So picture in your mind, if you will, Jesus is seated at the moment in heaven at the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father. When the right moment comes, God will give the command, and the rapture is on its way. Jesus will rise from his throne. He steps into the corridors of light and actually descends into the atmosphere of planet Earth from which he rose into the heavens over Mount of Olives some 2,000 years ago. Remember this. It's not the angels who are coming back. It's not the Holy Spirit who is coming back. It is Jesus who's coming back. Jesus coming back to collect his church, to collect you and me, and take us to be with him. This is a scene that even Hollywood, in all of its imagination, couldn't possibly duplicate. I don't know how many Christians there are in the world. There are millions, that much we know. But just think, all of a sudden, millions of people taken over the world and being with Jesus. We learn something else. We find this in Acts chapter 1. You remember that Jesus was with his disciples, and then all of a sudden, he started to go up into the clouds. It's recorded in Acts. He was crucified on the cross. He was buried, dead and buried. He rose again, and he was on earth for about 50 more days, 40 more days, and he talked to people and met many people during that time. Then he went up into glory. And that was what was being witnessed by those in the book of Acts. And then two men were there, two angels, men of Galilee. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. It is going to be an absolutely spectacular event. Now, when we think about the scripture that we have read, not just this morning, but all of scripture in the New Testament, we know that there were two men by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus, number one, was the Lazarus, a poor man with the rich man, and they both died, and the poor man went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. That's Lazarus, number one. Lazarus, number two, was the brother of Mary and Martha. And you remember that he had died. So they called on Jesus, and Jesus went there, and Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. And so when the appropriate time came, Jesus looked at the grave, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. Now, some theologian has pointed out, it's good that Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," because Lazarus did. If he had just said, "Come forth," everybody in the grave would have come up. That's the authoritative voice of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, whom we serve. When that voice happens again, and he's going to say, "Come forth," that's when the church is going to go to be with him. Frankly, I believe that nobody else will hear those words other than believers. I believe that unbelievers, your family members, will not hear it. Unsaved fathers will not hear it. Unsaved mothers will not hear it. Unsaved children will not hear it. They will not hear the voice. But all who are saved will hear the voice, will be obedient to their voice, and we will go to be in glory with him. Yes, the rapture is coming, but it is a signless event. It is a surprise event. It is a sudden event. It's a selective event. It is a spectacular event, and it is a sequential event. There are certain things that happen in an order, in a sequence. The scripture says the Lord himself will descend. His descent will be personal. It'll be physical. It'll be visible. We will see him. We will finally see Jesus face to face. Then there will be a resurrection. Our resurrection, not Jesus. It already occurred thousands of years ago. But it'll be our resurrection when our body takes on a new body to live for eternity. And as I said earlier, the dead will come up out of their grave, will be united with their spiritual body, and have a new one for all eternity. It'll be the redemption of all believers. We will be changed. The scripture says in Philippians 3:21, the Lord will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. I'm not sure all that that means, but I think I know what it means. If we are going to be transformed and conformed to his body, it seems to me that we are going to be able to do the same kind of things in our resurrected body that Jesus did in his resurrected body. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's a beautiful hymn, Face to Face with Jesus. We can sing about it, we can imagine what it'd be like, but when the time comes, we will actually be face to face with Jesus. Unbelievers, they don't have a hope. Unbelievers, many of them don't even know what it means. But you and I, we can speculate as to what it means. Imagine being in the presence of Jesus, seeing him face to face. And finally, the rapture is a strengthening event. It strengthens us when we know what it's all about. Now, I know there are some theologians that take a different position on this than I do. I don't claim to be a theologian. I'm a preacher. But I do a lot of study in the Word of God. And there are those who believe, including myself, that the rapture will occur and then the tribulation will come. The rapture doesn't trigger off the tribulation. The signing of a peace agreement by the Antichrist, the world dictator, and Israel will be the beginning of the rapture. So when the rapture occurs, some days later, the tribulation begins. There are theologians, all well-meaning, all well-studied theologians, who believe that they see in Scripture that the church will go through part of the tribulation and be raptured at the midpoint. Then there are others who feel that the rapture will not come until the end of the tribulation and then go up and sort of come back down again almost immediately. So therefore, there are people today who are wondering whether or not we're going to go through the tribulation. I do not think we will be, but they are collecting food and drink and water and so on. Praise be to God, because if we're going to go through the tribulation, it's good to have that on hand. On the other hand, I've made no such preparations because I believe that the rapture is going to occur first, and we are going to be with the Lord forever and forever. And one of the reasons why I think this, there are many, but one of the reasons was the very last verse that I read in our scripture reading this morning. Paul has given an outline as to what is going to happen. And then he says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, I find it a little difficult to encourage believers if we're going to go through the first half of the tribulation or for all the tribulation. That is not encouraging. But to know that we're going up ahead of the tribulation period, that is encouraging. And that's something to which we can look forward. I do not know when the rapture is going to occur, but I do know it is going to happen. It may well happen in our lifetime. And you and I need to be prepared. We need to anticipate that this is coming. And one of the greatest areas of anticipation is to do our part to tell our family members, our friends, our neighbors about Jesus. Let them know that God loves them. Doesn't matter their state of mind, their state of life, God loves them. And he pours their life, his life out to them, his love out to them. And the point is, if they will accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, their eternity is secure in him. And if they do not, their eternity is not secure in Jesus. And I wouldn't want to be in hell for all eternity. But I'm not going to get there because I earned the way, not because I deserve it. It's all because of Jesus. And I put my trust in him, what he has done for me. Yes, the rapture is a signless event, a surprise event, a sudden event, a selective event, a spectacular event, a a sequential event, and a strengthening event. Now, while the word rapture does not appear in Scripture, its concept does. And there have been raptures before. There are more raptures coming. For example, Enoch was raptured. He was taken off the earth and into the presence of God. Elijah was raptured. Paul, the apostle, was raptured and then brought back to earth again. John was raptured and then brought back to earth again. Then comes the rapture. Oh, Jesus was raptured, and he will come back. He hasn't come back yet in that form, but he's coming. Then comes the rapture of the church. And then during the tribulation period, there'll be two witnesses who will be standing up proclaiming Jesus. They will die, and then they will be raptured, and they will be taken to heaven. Rapture is not a strange word. It is a word that appears throughout Scripture. The rapture, when it occurs, it sets up a delightful series of meetings or events. What are those meetings? What are those events? Dead bodies will be reunited with their soul, spirit, mind, and personality. Resurrected believers will be united with living believers, maybe on the way up as we're heading to be with Jesus. Resurrected believers and raptured believers will meet the Lord, and they'll meet all who've gone on before them. We will see parents. We will see relatives who've died before us, who put their trust in Christ, and will be with him. Oh, dear friends, let's be prepared for this rapture which is coming. Do you know that according to church statistics, that 80 to 90% of Christian churches do not know about and do not believe that Jesus is coming back someday? But that is not our experience. We are looking forward to the fact that Jesus is returning someday. Praise be to God. Keep this in mind. Coming back in two ways. Coming back to collect his church, then coming back with his church. And when he comes back, we'll be with him for that 1,000 years. Who knows what it's going to be like. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you have given us even more than a little hint as to all that's going to happen in the future. We put our trust in you, Lord God. We recognize you as being sovereign over all. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For we ask it in our Savior's name.